We're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Last night, environmental activist Erin Brockovich spoke at a West Michigan town hall. She was there to support a class action lawsuit filed against three companies, 3M, Wolverine Worldwide, and Waste Management. The suit accuses the companies of dumping toxic waste and polluting the groundwater in several areas of Kent County with a family of chemicals known as PFAS. It stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. In the 1950s, PFAS were used in firefighting foam and making nonstick surfaces. And there's reason to worry. These chemicals have contaminated 28 sites in 14 communities around Michigan that we know of. Governor Snyder has created the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team to tackle this problem. And with us now is the academic advisor to that team. Dr. David Savitz is a professor of epidemiology at the Brown University School of Public Health. Doctor, welcome to Stateside. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So 28 sites, 14 communities. It sounds like a big problem. Is it in comparison to other states?
I have not looked at it systematically, but you hear of episodes in, in a half dozen states at least, and I suspect if people look for more indications of contamination, they will probably find them.
As you're saying, this is something that's being uncovered really as we speak.
That's right. And the ways they come to attention, it's not as though there's a systematic search for these kinds of situations. It's often sort of fortuitous that somebody measures something in a well or a company becomes aware of leakage from a storage site and so on. It's kind of happenstance rather than systematic.
Tell us more about these chemicals. Just, what are they and how were they once used?
It's a broad class of chemicals that have proven to be extremely useful in just a very wide range of materials from food packaging, firefighting foam, nonstick surfaces. There's dozens of different uses for these chemicals. And really, until maybe the past decade or so, there was not a very much of a concern that they could pose an environmental or a health hazard.
How did we get a sense that these are something to worry about?
Well, I think that it's been driven largely by the evidence that they are, some at least in members of this class of chemicals, are persistent in the environment. And whenever you have a situation, putting aside for the moment whether they have health effects, when you have chemicals escaping into the environment that are persistent, it creates this very widespread exposure so that at this point, literally everybody in the United States, most people in the world, have some measurable levels of these chemicals in their blood. So at least it raises the question, people are exposed, it's persisting in the environment. What about the health implications of that?
And what do we know about those health implications?
Not much. I think, again, this is a very broad characterization, but it's kind of in a gray area where, some chemicals, of course, we know are absolutely toxic at very low levels, PCBs or lead or dioxin or chemicals of that nature. Other chemicals we have very little reason to be concerned about, and I would say this is somewhere in between where there are suggestions of toxicity, not clear at what levels, not clear which of these chemicals may be worse or better than others, but there are enough hints of toxicity that we take it seriously and, of course, are concerned.
Are these chemicals still being used or have they been phased out?
Well, it's interesting. It's, as often happens, the old ones have been phased out and new ones are introduced on the presumption that the new ones are going to be less persistent. We don't know, of course, if they are less toxic, but just the very fact that they don't last as long in the environment would automatically mean they have lower exposures to people than the old ones did.
Are we at all safe in presuming that companies in 2017 are more enlightened than they were in the 1950s about how to dispose of waste?
In general, that's true, but I think specifically this is now recognized as a class of chemicals that may indeed be harmful to the health of the population, but I think even in a, if you will, in a pure business sense, I think they would be pretty unwise to not pay attention to the kind of concern that this raises, the need to minimize, if not eliminate, exposure. So the awareness is quite different than it was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago.
We know that the federal government has a health advisory of 70 parts per trillion of PFAS, and there are some areas in Michigan with tests showing PFAS in the thousands of parts per trillion. And our Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard, said this is not an issue that's going to be going away. Do you feel we will still be finding more contaminated sites? Is this a problem that's still developing?
Unless there's a methodical look across different water supplies, it's likely that, at least across the country, I can't speak to Michigan specifically, but I'm sure we'll keep finding new areas of contamination. Now, it's probably worth mentioning that that level that the EPA designated is very conservative, largely based on ignorance. In other words, we don't know enough to truly set a standard based on clear scientific evidence. And so there's an approach that errs on the side of caution, and that was the basis in large part for the selection of that number.
Just how daunting is it, Dr. Savitz, to clean up a site that's contaminated with these chemicals, one or more of them?
They often are in the groundwater, which is a very slow process of dissipating or migrating or, in this case, cleaning up if that's the ultimate goal. So once they are out there in the environment, that's why the solutions tend to be more in the nature of simply avoiding those sources of water, not using those for drinking water supplies, finding alternative sources, providing some mechanism of eliminating or markedly reducing the exposure, either at the treatment plant or in the home. It's very difficult to obliterate it from the environment. Time will do that, of course, the passage of enough time. But otherwise, it's not easily gotten rid of.
Have you seen other states successfully tackle dealing with these PFAS contamination sites?
Every solution is kind of an ad hoc solution, depending on the nature of the contamination. If it's a community supply, there are approaches to trying to reduce levels at the treatment plant. Very difficult in areas that are served by well water, because it's individual homes that have their own supply, and if the groundwater in that area is contaminated, there's not an easy fix in the environment. There tends to be what I think of more as workarounds, meaning filtration in the home, which is quite expensive, or supplying alternative drinking water sources. Not very elegant solutions in a sense, but it's the best that can be done given those conditions.
When you think of dealing with these sites in Michigan, what do you see as the main barriers?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is to try to be appropriately responsive. And what I mean by that is not to exaggerate the information on the health threat that this poses, nor to understate it, and to try to determine the right policy response that is sensitive to what the scientific evidence says, is sensitive to the needs of the population, but really avoids the extremes on both sides of either saying, oh, it's no problem, we should ignore it, or, you know, we should devote all of society's resources to getting rid of this particular class of chemicals. I mean, the truth, of course, is that, as I said, we are concerned. I think that reasonable steps to reduce exposure are absolutely worthwhile, and then it's trying to get that policy approach right that I think is the challenge Michigan faces. And again, to the credit of the Michigan Health Department, they are taking this issue on directly. They're approaching it methodically, the task force that I'm a part of. It's a very good faith effort to not sweep it under the rug, but to really confront it and determine the right way to respond.
And state lawmakers have given environmental and health agencies $23.2 million to just figure out where the sites are, develop cleanup plans. Is that going to be enough in your view? We know the governor wanted another $16 million.
You know, until you scope out the nature of the problem and start proposing solutions, it's very, very hard to answer that. I think that the first step, of course, is to determine the exposure levels. I mean, the health effects inferences are going to remain unclear for the foreseeable future. I think where you can, though, get some clarity is a better sense of the distribution of exposure in the population, where are the sites with elevated levels, and at least to see what the scope of the problem is an important starting point to determine the best approach to mitigation.
And members of Congress from Michigan on both sides of the aisle are asking the EPA to continue to actively engage in the state's response to the PFAS contamination. How would you like to see the EPA support this effort?
Well, I think, again, there are different functions that can be served. Obviously, for being responsive to the public health needs of the state of Michigan, the health department is in the sort of the driver's seat for that. But EPA certainly can assist with monitoring the environment. They have a lot of expertise in the distribution of the contamination and the groundwater flows, and some of this technical expertise I think would be very vital in helping to determine the best approach to reducing the exposures.
How hopeful or confident are you that the EPA will step up here in Michigan to support the cleanup?
You know, I honestly don't have information on the sort of the nature of their mandate or their degree of interest and response in doing so. I will say that it certainly is in the purview that is typically assigned to EPA to provide on a regional basis, on a national basis, the kind of guidance and scientific input and assistance that is being sought is well within the traditional function of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Dr. David Savitz is a professor of epidemiology in the Brown University School of Public Health, and he is the academic advisor to the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team. Thank you so much for spending time with us, doctor.
Thank you for your interest.